Empty backfield. Love first and 10. Crumbling pocket knocked away from behind. It's loose. Looked like Grenard was the one to get it, and falling on the ball was Johnson.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Well, as you can see, we are ushering in a new era here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, Aaron at the controls now. And we got a busy show for you today. The man gave you the phone number if you want to tweet us at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein. At Aaron is benched?
No, that's
what?
Not it yet.
What do you mean, no?
Because that just sounds derogatory.
No. Aaron is benched.
So you're
not
saying
blitz.
That you guys are a B team then?
No, you're
that,
benched.
That makes that makes it sound like I got moved to a B team.
That's why we called ourselves the bench. It was self-deprecating from the very beginning.
Yep.
We used to have a 2-minute segment at the end called 3-minute segment called garbage time when we first started, which
we get everybody, you know, gets garbage time.
It was because everyone gets garbage time. Yeah. Right. It made sense in this day of it's very much like throw shade. It's the same concept.
Yeah.
It's throw shade Thursday. But we do have a busy show, and the Texans are underway. And you know what's weird, John, is you just heard the highlight headed into the show of Jonathan Greenard's strip sack. Like, hey, I remember that guy. He was drafted last year. Oh, that's totally right. I forgot there was a draft pick that did something. Then Jahlil Johnson, a newcomer. I remember writing him up from Iowa. He'd been with Minnesota Vikings for the last 4 years. He fell on the ball twice. He fell on two different fumbles. And after watching the game, I was like, you know, I know it's just a preseason game. I know half the offensive line has COVID and didn't make the trip.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I was like, hey, that's right. Houston is playing football, and Lovie Smith might make a little bit of a difference this year.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to make, you know, a Camu Grugier. You saw plays being made. I mean, Lonnie Johnson made a nice play on, and this was early in the game when their better players were in there. It was difficult to watch the Jeff Driskel led Texans. I will admit that. But you know, I thought the two things that stood out the most in that football game was Tyrod Taylor was perfect, and then the play calling at the by Tim Kelly at the goal in first and goal was questionable, and then secondly was how well Davis Mills played. Those two quarterbacks, how well they played, and of course the defense and how it was flying around, and to a man, Lance, that's all we've heard this preseason, is how much guys love playing in this defense. So it is really, really neat. It is really, really neat to see them, you know. And listen, they look more athletic, too. Mm-hmm. When you look at Jenkins and you look at Camu Grugier,
Camu Grugier is a really plus athlete.
Even Kirksey all the guys, Neville Hewitt. And all of these guys that are flying around making plays, it's like, holy crap.
All new. Every guy that you mentioned, Kirksey, Camu Grugier, who was, you know, he had a couple. I mean, I think he's going to be just okay as a linebacker. But when he got downhill and got in gaps, you know, when he's unfettered and untouched, he's a problem because he's fast and he can get downhill quickly. He had a couple plays behind the line of scrimmage. But you mentioned every guy that you mentioned, the Texans got faster.
Yeah.
Texans got more athletic, got faster, got longer. They look better.
You know, it's weird. They got all phase two guys, right? Those are all guys that nobody was clamoring for at the top of the free agent list. We got to sign long-term big deals to. Not one of them, and yet they're better. They're going to be better. First of all, no offense, but last year's defense, the way that it was designed and everything else, it was really, 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 really bad.
No offense.
No offense.
No offense, Anthony Weaver. Your defense is just terrible.
No, in a way, the way his calls and the guys that he had in bad situations. I go back to Davante Adams and
the matchups.
It was just so bad, and you're like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? How could this be? How this is what you designed, really? And this looks like, hey, Vince Taylor. Oh, making plays.
Yeah, I thought he looked good up front.
Yeah.
Vince Taylor was getting active. And once again, now let's give Nick Caserio some credit here. He brought now, you know, we're one preseason game in, and the offensive line for the Green Bay Packers obviously is not the offensive line that you'll see. And by the way, that is going to be a question mark for them this year, their offensive line. You have David Bakhtiari is out with an injury. He's recovering from an ACL. They got a brand-new rookie center. Corey Linsley, who was a starter for 7 years, he's gone. But even with that said, you got a bunch of guys who are on reclamation or who are reclamation projects or need to prove that they still belong in the league. Vince Taylor's one of them. Really, everybody that the Texans have added are those kind of guys where they've got to show out this year because they all want to get contracts. They're all going to be on 1 year deals for the most part. But after one game, my takeaway was this was a defense that is going to be much more active, which we knew that with Lovie Smith, but it's a get up the field. It's not a read and react. It's an attack up the field defense. But he even dialed up some schematic pressure with, you know, twists up front with tackle twists, bringing a nickel off the slot on a blitz and then an inside backer with a blitz right over the top of the twist. And I'm like, wow, Lovie's showing a little. And for Lovie to show that in the preseason basically meant that he just wanted to put some things on tape for defense coordinators or offense coordinators to see. But it was effective because he's got more athletic players up front.
Well, you know, and maybe practice that stuff too. You know, in a real game, this is what we've been teaching them. You know, and you really can't do it in practice with shells. You just can't get that job done. But Cully talked about the defense and how different it is under Lovie. And here's David Cully on that.
Well, I think overall, defensively, I think they played team defense tonight. And, you know, this defense, with Lovie's defense, is built on basically creating turnovers, getting turnovers. We were able to get a few of those tonight. Was close to getting a few more. Basically, the thing there is that we got to make sure we had a couple of third and longs tonight that I know Lovie wasn't happy with, we weren't happy with, that we've got to get them off the field in third and longs. And we didn't do a good job of doing that. Other than that, I thought they played really good team defense.
It all starts with pressure, right? We already know their secondary is not going to be one of the better secondaries. It starts with pressure, but the one thing that I will tell Houston Texans fans right here and right now is that when your guys can't win 4-on-5, you know, when your front four can't get pressure, Lovie, who loves it when his front four can get pressure because then he can sit and cover two stuff and but when it doesn't get pressure, Lovie Smith understands how to dial up different blitz packages to create and manufacture pressure. And if you've got somebody who can manufacture and create pressure as a defensive coordinator, that makes all the difference in the world because it's going to really help your corners. It's going to help your safeties. And you saw in this game, and we've seen it throughout his time as a defensive coordinator and head coach, Lovie Smith values takeaways.
Yes.
And values creating takeaways. They don't happen accidentally. The teams with the best takeaways, it's always coached. And that's something that we saw. Jonathan Greenard was attacking the hand whenever he created the strip sack against Jordan Love. He is attacking the passing hand. Like, this is a coached trait. He's creating, you know, Charles Tillman is a Hall of Fame level cornerback with an unbelievable amount of takeaways, punching the ball out. We used to see Chris Dishman when he was an Oiler, had a great skill at that. It's a skill. Taking a ball away is a skill. You got to be looking for it. And Lovie's going to teach defensive players how to do that. And I think, you know, I think the one thing that I'm excited about right now is I'm excited about the defense being a more proactive, swarming unit and one that will create some positive plays on occasion. This is the worst takeaway team in the league last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they were pathetic. pathetic from an interception standpoint. We'll still see.
Oh, no, no, no. It was one of the worst in NFL history.
Yeah, history.
In history. One of the worst in NFL history. Second worst in NFL history. So there's nowhere to go but up. And it looks like they're more athletic. You saw Desmond King with, I don't know why he's returning anything, but
he's going to be your returner.
No, I know, but I don't want that right now. We don't need that right now. We need that in the regular season when it counts. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, do it all the time.
Well, no. You don't do that all the time in the preseason.
Do everything.
But the other big story I thought was Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills. And here's Coach Culley on the two of them and how they play.
Yeah, I thought Tyrod managed the game well, the one series that he had. I didn't feel like that we finished that drive. We had a third and two down there, and then we end up having to kick the ball, which we can't get field goals down in that situation. We've got to have touchdowns in that particular situation. Other than not being able to get us a score there with a touchdown, I thought he did exactly what we wanted him to do during that series. Davis, again, as I've said before, with him, something bad happens. He comes back. He's got that next play mentality. I think he held up very well. From the start to the finish, when he was in there, he did things that we were trying to get him to do. And when things weren't right, the positive thing about him is that he just comes back and those things don't bother him.
That was to a man. They said that his command in the huddle, his ability to bounce back. He made a couple of bad throws, not like Jeff Driscoll, but he made a couple of bad throws. And yet he was able to come back. He made a couple of really nice throws. They both hit Conley on 13-yard outs. It was third and long for both Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills had hit the same. Looked like
those
the same
dig
pass.
Comeback routes to the
no. It was an out route.
Well, I say dig, not the end breaking, but he ran it, stuck it, and then came back. Yeah, and but both were completions.
Both were completions, and
extended
on. I believe I know for sure Davis Mills was third and long. I'm pretty sure that Tyrod Taylor's was as well. But they both and Conley looked pretty good. I mean, it's a preseason game, obviously, but that kind of thing is those guys are going to be out there, and those guys are going to be against cornerbacks that Conley was playing against cornerbacks that he might be playing against in the regular season, and then it got the garbage time and all the guys that aren't going to be there. But for the most part, pretty pleasing after, a lot of the stuff that we heard about and saw in the preseason with Davis Mills, for him to have that kind of composure in the first game was nice.
Well, keep in mind, he is a player who was the top-rated quarterback coming out of high school. He was a five-star. When I put the tape on and watched him, he was – now, I had limited. I had five starts this year and six previously the year before. But he was a player who – arm talent was never in question. You got good arm. He's not the most mobile guy, and you'll see that on the issue I had with him in this last game is there were some easy throws, and I mean easy throws, that he was like wide receiver, like hitch throws that weren't very good. There were some easy ones out there, if I'm nitpicking at him a little bit, that he's going to have to make. The everyday throws is what I call them, just that you're going to have to make every game. All the time, just the basic throws. Those need to become a little more consistent. The little boot action throw to Buddy Howell that should have been a touchdown. He let it go a little late, and then he threw it a little high. And Buddy dropped it, but it should be mm-hmm. better placement than when he threw it. But when you get past that, what he did in the second quarter, I thought was really good. I thought, moving down, extending on third downs when he had some third down conversions, I thought that was solid for a first time out. We already got people on Twitch. Oh, he went from the Texans are the worst to the Texans are the best. Texans aren't the best. Texans were functional. It was like, hey, wait a minute.
No.
Maybe we don't throw the season away. It's just one preseason game. Let us be excited about something.
Something. I mean, no, listen.
I'm sorry.
Anything that they do is is well above expectation.
Would you like the crust cut off of your turd sandwich, or do you want to keep it on your turd sandwich?
No, I want good crust.
Yeah.
Because some of the turd might not be on that.
Maybe we get some jelly on it, too. That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay, look, we had jelly. We didn't know if turd sandwich was going to have jelly on it. It's awesome. That's really, really nice. And you know what? We're not getting too excited about it, but there was at least something to be positive about in an offseason that had nothing, Nothing to be positive about. A big win for our Houston Texans. We'll hear from Coach Cully again. But when we come back, we've got to talk about our Astros. On the other side right now, the team that just, that's all they do is hit grand slams, except when they only score one run. We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now I'm talking about Doc Linville. And for those of you that are on Twitch right now, I don't know how many of you are, but when you're looking at this, you're looking at my hair and you're like, gosh, that is something special, isn't it? Yeah, it really is something special, and it's all because of one guy, Doc Linville, who is an awesome guy, by the way. Yeah, I mean, you guys, you listeners, you bench listeners, you would love Doc Linville. He's wild, he's crazy, he's wonderful, and the dude is just really, really good at this thing. Well, he's really, really good at a lot of things. If your wife needs plastic surgery, this is the guy that you go see. You need hair, this is the guy you go see. He has turned into one of the largest, and he just started this up just a couple of years ago, but one of the largest hair movement, I don't want to say replacement, but hair movement companies in this entire city. One of the biggest in the city right now. And so if you're looking for the best way to get that hair with the easiest process, painless, all of it, neo-grafting, 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Myers, deep to right. It is a grand slam! The second home run of the night for Jake Myers, and the second grand slam in as many nights for the Houston Astros.
How about that? How about Jake Myers' night? You know, he did that in Sugarland as well. He had a two-home run night, and it was pretty obvious that what the Astros wanted to do when they traded Miles Straw. First of all, you bolstered the bullpen with Phil Maton. And then secondly, you gave Chaz McCormick a lot more at-bats. Nothing against Miles Straw, but Miles Straw doesn't have the kind of pop. Miles Straw is going to do what Miles Straw is going to do. And I think, I'm not going to speak for James Click, but he might have had to, you know, I got to take that toy away from Dusty because he's going to continue to play with that old beat up fire truck with three
old
wheels.
Toy. Well, who you're talking about? Straw?
Instead of, we bought him a brand new Hot Wheels set. And he still wants to play with that old fire truck. We got to take the fire
truck. Even though he is a really young fire truck.
Well, he's a young fire truck, but he's not efficient. He's not as fun. He doesn't.
He had his favorite shirt. Like, Dusty, we got you these shirts. You can't wear this T-shirt to church, Dusty. You need to wear your nice shirt to church. You need to wear your church clothes.
And then he goes into the drawer, and the shirt's no longer there. And he asks his wife, "Where are my orange shorts? Where's my damn orange shorts?" And my wife did that to me. And I'm like, I don't know what happened to them. They're gone. And I was Where's my Miles Straw? And it's gone. And I can't play with Miles Straw anymore.
Well, you know, he got replaced with, so Jake Myers.
That was the second thing that happened.
Yeah.
Is that Jake Myers gets called up.
Jake Myers is now playing the role of Chaz McCormick, and Chaz McCormick's playing the role of Straw. But, you know, Jake Myers in the minors had 16 bombs.
Yeah.
He had 16 bombs and 271 at-bats. You know, you project it over the course of a season. That's, you know, 32 home runs. You got two guys with pop. Oh, gee, can you imagine? I mean, Straw was never going to be a long-term option if you had other guys with some pop who could defend. And the Astros made a really, to me, it was an easy choice. I mean, if you got a guy who you can bring up and you can basically, you know, slide the puzzle pieces over, then, yeah, Straw goes. And I had no problem with Straw being gone, and I know there were some Astros fans who kind of grew, like, Straw grew on me from the standpoint of, hey, our little guy's all grossed up. He's playing some pretty good baseball.
Yeah.
Had a boy. Send him off to school.
Well, everybody was thrilled when he's up to 270. It's like, look at Miles Straw. I love Miles Straw. Everybody,
he's got two home runs now with the Astros. Hey, buddy. Hey, little buddy. And then Chaz McCormick and Jake Myers hits 2-8. They hit 2 in a game.
Yeah.
That's not a big deal. Yeah.
And won a grand slam. So, no. Jake Myers doing what he do. And now Tucker, come on, Tucker, get back with this protocol. We need, they can't have this. Alex Bregman with another setback. This is bothersome now. If you didn't hear, apparently now he's not going to be around for a while. They're shutting him down again. The quad has just been a problem, and it continues to be a problem, and he's not getting better. And unfortunately, he is shut down again, so you're not going to have that for a while. That was, one of the things that is unfortunate is,
what is going on?
I love Graveman. I love Graveman, and it was a good trade. But it had, you wish you had Abraham Toro somehow. You do. You're losing Toro's bat. It hurts. It hurts a little bit. Now I'll still trade Graveman for him. I'll still do that. But not having Abraham Toro.
Well,
when
your lineup is healthy, you don't miss Toro as much.
Yeah, he's a luxury.
Yeah, but for right now, yeah, you'd love to have Toro. But I love having Graveman right now, even though he gave up a run over the weekend. Yesterday the Astros. Now that is a soft sweep. The Astros with a very competitive third game after winning the first two. They lose yesterday. Lance McCullers threw well. He got in some trouble in the second inning, struck out Otani with a nice little, I guess it was a curveball, almost looked like a splitter. And then, and he had the one inning where, and then he gave up the run in the fifth, and then he gave up another run, earned run. And, he did his job for the most part. He had a solid start, solid outing. You just couldn't get the bats going for whatever reason. They just couldn't get going. So you went 2 out of 3, but you had three good pitching performances. Greinke was fantastic on Friday, man. Zach Greinke was awesome. The good Greinke showed up. Luis Garcia, a few more walks than you wanted, three walks, but he was good. And then McCullers was solid. He got the loss, but it was nice to see your three starters go in and perform well. Your bats got gone for 2 of the 3 games. I'll take it. 2 out of 3 with the Angels, I'll take it.
Now
with the A's on your ass now.
Now you got 4 against Kansas City. And you come home, Seattle, and you got 3 against Kansas City. And again, don't play down to your competition. This is to me, I would much rather be going into a series against the Dodgers or the Red Sox or the White Sox than, and that's, Johnny is scared. No, they play, it's not even arguable. They play much better against 500 teams than below 500 teams. Much better.
You know, the Angels
against teams that are above 500 than they do against teams below.
Well, you went in when you played the Angels. People might think, well, the Angels are one of those teams, but they were a 500 team when you started the series.
Not a bad baseball team.
They were a 500 team. The worst team in the division is the Rangers, and it's not even close. But the A's, when you started that series, you were 1.5 up on the A's. Now you're 2.5 up on the A's. You need to keep building. The A's had a 7-game win streak snap. They went. They lost 2 of 3 over the weekend. So you need to, you need to build up your cushion again against the A's and do what you can while guys are out. The Bregman thing is a concern because he's been out 2 months. Then they reevaluate him, and last week while you were gone, they said, okay, well, we're gonna go a little bit longer. He was 2 of 27, not good from the plate. We want to get his. And this is what James Click said. No, the quad's 100%. This is a timing issue. Now all of a sudden, they're shutting down. They don't know when the next rehab game is going to be for Bregman. This is a concern because we could be delving into 3-month territory. Right now, we're already at 2-month territory on Bregman. We could end up getting into 3-month territory. They've just got to get him right. And the Astros are going to look at this way. They are definitely going to err on the side of caution because, let's face it, their whole goal is to win a World Series. Compete for a World Series, win a World Series. Your best way of doing that is if Alex Bregman's on the field and playing well. You're not taking chances of him getting set back. So they're not going to rush him back. So, Aledmys Diaz, keep your batting gloves on because you're going to be playing a lot of baseball.
Absolutely. Aledmys. Oh, and you know what? I don't mind. I don't mind Elizabeth being out there quite a bit.
I'll take him while he's still healthy.
Yeah, you know, now that you – at least he doesn't have to play first and then whomever at third. And it's just this is still a really, really, really good baseball team. Man, when everybody gets healthy, when everybody's back, you got your rotation set up. When Odorizzi isn't in it anymore, which he is tonight, we'll see. Jake better come up with an outing tonight. He really has to come up with an outing tonight. At Kansas City, you can't let this team. This is such a bad baseball team. You really, really got to take this. Jake Odorizzi really's got to start get a good outing under his feet. 713-780-3776. Jerome Solomon is joining us on the other side. We'll talk to him about all things Houston, including his thoughts on the Texans and Astros and everything else Houston sports. But first, Lance, what about a little Texas Custom Patio?
So Texas Custom Patios is I get to see Steven and his design team coming out today. We're going to take a look at my space. When you have custom patios that are built by Texas Custom Patios, one of the things what they do is they took a look at the space. They'll design it. They give you a drawing or a CAD rendering that is lifelike. I mean, it looks exactly the way that your home is going to look. But then they let you have the input. Like, what do you think? And is this what you want? Is this what you were thinking of? Do we have all the different features that you're looking for? And they help walk you through the process. And based on your budget, you can go up, you can go down. You may decide, like I did, that, you know what, I want to include windows in this as well. And that's something that they were able to do. And my friends over there at Texas Custom Patios can do outdoor kitchens, outdoor living spaces. They can do room additions, sunrooms. There's so much that they're able to do. If you want to see some of their work, including freestanding pool homes, if you want to see some of their work, go to TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com. Or go look at my backyard and see the difference at TCPLance.com.
ESPN 97.5. Behold the King, the King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
You're listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jerome Solomon joining us, Houston Chronicle sports columnist and the host, not the star, but the host of the Houston Sports Show. It's Jerome Solomon right here. What's up, Jerome? Can you hear us?
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, I was just muting myself, you know.
Yeah, that's all right. No,
I didn't even want to hear me, apparently.
It's a good way to start. what'd you think of our Houston Texans on Saturday night?
They looked like a football team, you know. And for a first preseason game with so many new players, you know, a new coaching staff in terms of being together, they looked organized and looked like they knew what they were doing. So that's the first takeaway. They didn't just go fumbling around looking lost and confused as we've known bad teams to do before. So if I were a fan, I'd be, you know, at least somewhat optimistic that they won't be completely terrible all season, even though they probably won't win a lot of games.
Yeah. I did. We're overly excited here about it, but anything positive out of this football team right now? No. I mean, when I see Davis Mills completing passes, I'm like, yes. Now we're having some fun. It's amazing what little expectations we have for them.
Well, that's also football, too. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen football.
So that's true.
Every little bit you get, you get a little excited about it. But I will say about Davis Mills, the one thing I think that you most look for from a rookie, especially in his first few games or in preseason, is he didn't look scared. You know what I mean? He wasn't jittery in the pocket. You know, where he's just crumbling and folding under the pressure and, you know, have that look on his face like he doesn't want to be there. He didn't come across as that. He came across as a guy who could play at this level. How high a level he can play at, it's a long way from determining that. But he at least looked like he belongs.
That's one of you know the thing that we were talking about is the excitement may not be the right word. I guess it's just almost Jerome. Just I've been so locked in on the Texans, how terrible they were in the last year, how it's been dismal from just a morale standpoint, thanks to Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien over the last couple of years, and then now you see, you know, it's just a bunch of Band-Aids that they signed, but those Band-Aids are more athletic. Those Band-Aids are out there, you know, playing for another contract, frankly. And it was just strange to see, hey, I forgot what a well-coordinated defense could look like. Hey, I forgot what an active defensive front seven could look like. These are things that I just kind of written off, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what they've done to us over the years, especially the last couple and what Bill O'Brien was taking this team. But yeah, these are Band-Aids. They were running around with open wounds last season, you know, and it's just these Band-Aids are upgrades. Like you say, they're active, they're athletic, they seem to be faster. Just a team that can actually play at a higher level, whereas much of last season, they were playing at the level they could play at. There was no, oh, these guys are going to improve. It wasn't going to come from anywhere else. They were just going to keep getting worse. So, yeah, you needed to clean house, literally, and they've done that. Now, most of these guys will be gone in a year or two as well, but you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, Jerome Solomon with us here, Houston Chronicle columnist and the host of the sports show here on Sunday mornings on ESPN, Houston Sports Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So you wrote about Deshaun Watson, time to end this, time to get this over with. We had a night that we didn't have to think about Deshaun Watson, but how we had the SI article, we had Deshaun snapping at the media last week, we had the SI article about the two women who are saying that the NFL didn't handle this thing right. They got to end it, Jerome, but there is no end in sight.
There really isn't. I mean, the only end is when he gets traded. When it comes to Texans and us, you know, people here, that until he's traded, it's going to always be a story. And I know he can be upset about it. I can be upset because I'm tired of seeing the updates, but he's the best player on the team and he's not playing. That's a story every day. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. If he were injured, he wouldn't be a story. It's like, well, he's out of sight, out of mind. But he's not out of sight. He's right there, and he'll be at practice this afternoon, I'm sure. And it's kind of a circus atmosphere because on some level, the team is, you know, hands are tied in what they can do, but their hands weren't tied before the draft when they could have traded him and moved on. Especially once they decided they were going to move on, they've had plenty of time to figure out the best way to do it. What they're doing has been the worst way in terms of it's just dragging on and, you know, no end in sight, like you said.
Yep. No. Jerome Solomon here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You wrote an article about Art Briles and not deserving another chance. Last week, the NCAA came up with the ruling that Baylor's not going to be punished. I thought that was the right ruling. I thought that, you know, why should these people who had nothing to do with any of that be punished for what Art Briles and that staff did? But I agree with you. There's no way. Now, other guys have gotten jobs that were on that staff and probably knew Kendall for one, that knew what was going on, and they're working. I don't think, you know, Art Briles should get another chance in college football, but Art Briles is certainly the guy that was at the forefront of that whole thing.
Yeah, I hold the head coach to a higher standard than his staff. I mean, you know, that's where you start, first of all. And then, I mean, everybody deserves a second chance except for the people who do something so egregious that you can't forgive them. Briles didn't necessarily do that. He did nothing. And he didn't care. He didn't even try to care. I'm sorry, if you're a head coach on a college campus, you know, and you're in charge of leading young men, it is your responsibility to lead them on and off the field. You know, and it's your responsibility to represent your university and to, you know, be careful and care about the safety of people on your campus. And all of that said, even if Briles had just been contrite and admitted what he's done or didn't do or what he should have done, he's had 5 years to do that. And he's still going around celebrating. See, I didn't break any NCAA rules. No, you didn't. Sexual assault is not an NCAA rule. It's not a violation. not reporting it or not doing anything about it is it's not an NCAA violation. Sexual assault on college campuses is not a college football problem. It's a human problem. And Art Briles showed no humanity in what he did and how he handled that situation. And clearly he still hasn't learned from it.
Yeah, I think the case with Art is going to be interesting because he's, you know, whether he likes it or not, whether Scott Walker's, I think it's Scott Walker, his attorney likes it or not. I mean, he's the face of the Baylor situation. And, I mean, he's not a young coach. His son is a young coach. His son got hired. I think it's going to be hard for Art to find a job in the way that, you know, Art would be looking for a job.
I mean, yeah, he's in his late 60s. But
yeah,
I could see a small school. The guy can coach.
There's no question about that. I could see a small school. I don't think he's going to get what he would want or what he's necessarily looking for. But the one thing that was puzzling that came out of all this is, wait a minute. So Baylor did nothing wrong? No, they're not saying that in the report. They're saying they can't punish Baylor. They can't. Right. You know, the thing that came out was how confusing and how it lacks teeth to take care of if you think that there is an issue in terms of covering, not necessarily covering things up, but not being in control of a situation. The NCAA only has a certain amount of control, and they're not willing to really exert it now. With the NIL, we're really seeing a different NCAA. With the NIL, now with this isn't the scary NCAA I grew up with.
No, it's not, but that's because the school presidents want it that way. They'll never admit to it, but they make the rules for the NCAA. They decide what is and isn't against the rules. And a lot of this stuff, if you really dug into it, and trust me, it's kind of boring, but I had nothing to do. So I spent time reading much of that report. The president of the university would step in and handle appeals for athletes who were suspended for smoking marijuana. And he would step in, hold an appeals meeting, and do it himself in his office and bring in Art Briles and one of the assistant coaches and grant the appeal every time. It's like over marijuana, the president of the university involved with a backup cornerback fell in a drug test. Who does that? You know, what school is that important for? But that's what was going on at Baylor. And then the president told the NCAA that, hey, no, you know, I stepped in for a lot of appeals, and they looked and they couldn't find where he stepped in at any except for football players. It's that kind of stuff just was at the heart of what was happening there. It was at win at all cost, and they were winning and Baylor hadn't won in forever. So they enjoyed it. It made a difference. They made money. Everybody got rich. You know, the president on down, or Art Briles on down, he made more than anyone else. And so they don't feel bad about what they did. I think it was disgusting.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. You know, we had a conversation here about the greatest Houston athletes. Yours is Simone Biles. I think mine was Simone Biles as well, I think. But this was before the whole thing. I don't know. Have you written about her since? There were a lot of conversations about it. Her sitting out that team event. Some of saying it's heroic, some, you know, courageous, all these others, she let her team down. I don't know what it is, Jerome, but I do know that it's on her resume for the rest of her life. And people will have their own opinions on whether it was courageous or whether or not she just, she folded to the pressure and let her team down.
Yeah. And it'll always be debated, and people made up their mind rather quickly. Her situation is so different from what we have in other sports. So, like, when you have an athlete who, you know, collapses under the pressure, say LeBron James, for instance, in 2011 against the Mavs, right? He collapsed under the pressure. He had he won games in some playoff series, but he hadn't showed you that he could handle championship pressure yet, right? Well, this girl, because she's been doing it since she was 13 years old, has handled that pressure. She's the only Olympian gymnast to have won all the things that she's won for 8 years running before she got to this particular event. And unlike a golfer who, you know this very well, who gets the yips, or the baseball player, Jose Altuve, who can't throw a baseball across the diamond. Simone Biles, she can't do what she does, she could break her neck. This isn't like a person who can't make a free throw all of a sudden. This is someone who, when you are in the air and you can't feel your balance and you don't know where your body is, you cannot compete. You cannot compete in gymnastics. You can't do that. The only way she was able to come back for that last event on the beam is you don't fly on the beam like you do on in the other events. But she had it's a gymnastics condition. And yeah, I'm sure pressure is involved with it without a doubt. And yeah, people are going to hold it against her. I don't, because like I said, we're talking about Michael Jordan missing a free throw after he won six championships and missing a game winning free throw later. He's already won the titles. You know what I mean? He's already proved that he's the greatest. You don't lose that once you've been it.
Jerome Solomon was our first guest during the facelift. Okay. So just so you know that, Jerome, you were number one on our list here after our station facelift. So congratulations to you.
Oh, good. I won't be up again this early. So
that was it. The one and only. The one and only time he will be on our station. Jerome, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging with us.
All right, fellas. Keep killing it.
Thanks, Jerome.
All right. There's Jerome Solomon right here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Back to Texans talk. We got some other stuff that we got to get to, including Anthony Miller. We'll do that on the other side. But first,
new wide receiver, and he's already injured. And I also want to hear David Culley's. I'm curious. I have not heard this yet. I want to hear David Culley's first speech in the locker room after the game. Does he call himself a junkie, do you think?
I think he does call himself a junkie.
I want to see.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
I want to see if he admits that to the team or if he's gotten help.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. He's got some help from Lovie Smith. You can get some help, too, if you're in the market for a new truck. My friend Craig DeSurf wants to help you out, wants to hook you up. You got to check out the 2021 GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab. It's a great-looking pickup truck, a great-looking pickup truck. And GMC has always made top-level engineering the rule, and the latest generation Sierra is no exception to that. Right now, when you purchase a 2021 GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab, you're going to get a $3,000 purchase allowance. That is a great offer, but you can do this all out in Angleton, or you can shop online. So they make it as convenient as possible for you. Get yours at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton or at LanceZCars.com. Make sure that you check out everything that you need to find for your lease, for your purchase, and then you're going to get top value on the trade-in for your car or pickup truck or SUV. That's the way they always do it. Top value on your trade-ins. Make sure you check out GMC. We are professional grade. Offer for current eligible Buick or GMC owners and leasees when you finance through GM Financial.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Are we locked in?
Yes, sir.
You know what, though? When we first started out there tonight, we looked like we were locked in. You know, we didn't finish it like we wanted to finish it. We didn't do things like we want to do things consistently. But we did enough tonight. They do keep score, right? And when you keep score, what's the object? It's what?
Win.
And we did that.
Yes, sir.
And that's what's important tonight, okay? We'll correct the mistakes. We'll get everything done that needs to be done. But proud of you tonight. Proud of you tonight. From the time we left to the time we've got here to right now. On our way back, same thing. Make sure we're taking care of our business.
Texas 03, 1, 2, 3.
Texas.
There you go.
It was kind of weak at the end there. The 1, 2, 3 Texans. Okay. You got 100 guys.
What do
in that
we do?
Locker.
Win. It was a very. Yeah, win. I mean, it's preseason.
It is preseason.
There's a bunch of guys in there who know, like,
they're not.
Win, I'm getting cut. I don't care. Win. Yeah, great.
Whatever. I got a fun job. Anybody got a job?
I already can tell.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get time right now. I got to find some work.
Yeah. Hey, listen, they got the anti Bill O'Brien. He's a rah rah guy. He's just happy to be there. He's, you know, we saw him. a little bit last week that he was getting on guys. He got on wasn't Conley. Who was it that he got on last week? Might have been Conley he got on last week. He coached Conley before.
Yeah, with Kansas City.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he got on Conley last week, and that was the first time, not the first time that we've seen it, but that he's always missed, you know, always going to be positive and everything else, but he also has that side where he's going to try to get the most. Listen, it is what it is. It's the first preseason game, but it's good to see some positive things.
I've got people. It's funny, and I'm not saying it's a ton, but we had some people in the chat room and some people on Twitter who are like, why are y'all talking about this team? Like, this David Mills is trash. The whole team's trash. Green Bay didn't play anybody. Like, guys, it's okay to talk. Did we change the rules that we're not even allowed to talk about preseason games? I'm sorry. I don't think they're contracting. I know you want the Texans to contract and never have a football game again, but it's okay to talk about a football team during football season. Yes, we're coming up on football season quicker than you know. So, hey, I got to see a team that was not incompetent. I'm sorry, but I'm going to get my pom-poms out and get a little bit happy and giddy. Like, hey, they created 3 turnovers in that game. I didn't know that was possible in a football game.
Yeah.
That didn't seem like something that was – is that even legal? It appears as though that is legal to turn the ball over from the opponent. It's okay, guys. I'm sorry if we're disappointing you by actually being okay with the team. Like, we're not etched in stone where we're going to be haters of the Texans. If they play well, then we're going to say it. If they play poorly, we're going to say it. That's the way the show has always been. We don't cheer for the Texans to do poorly. We don't. We may predict they're going to do poorly, and we may evaluate them as playing poor football, but I was reasonably pleased with what I saw in the very first preseason game. And yes, it is a preseason game.
Yep.
No one's got them in the playoffs. I don't have them even winning 6 games. So it's okay. Hopefully that will calm your nerves that I still don't have them as a 6-win team. Maybe that's good enough. But you know what? I'd much rather watch a functional football team, at least on one side of the ball, than a team that's garbage like last year. That was atrocious to watch.
No, but it was – listen – it was also very encouraging to see Davis Mills actually be able to play, you know, even at that level against that competition, but just making some good throws, having a handle of the offense, not being scared, not being skittered back there. It was actually encouraging to see that, because there's a possibility, everybody. I know there's no possibility in your mind, but there's a possibility that you don't have to use your number one overall pick next year on a quarterback.
But at least let's see.
Let's see.
Let's get through some games.
At least one game in. That's all he had in front of him.
Can we get through a couple games before we... Hey, I'm an Everton fan. We're 1-0. As far as I'm concerned, there's a good shot that we win the Premier League this year.
There's no chance. But you know, at least, at the very least, it was decent to watch. It was okay. It's okay for it to be okay as opposed to just horrible all the time. Let's get Kevin in here. He wants to talk about the Texans. What do you say, Kevin?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good.
Man, look, people gonna be who people are. You know, they're always looking for something negative to harp on. At the end of the day, you know, those of us that's been around the game, even if you hadn't been around the game, man, if you're a fanboy, and I'm not a Texans fan by any means, but you know, I'm a Houston guy, and I don't want to see him get drugged week in and week out. But, man, at the end of the day, I agree, man. This organization's football team that they put on the field look extremely competent. And my son is a huge Packers fan. Like, he went and put on his Packers veil during the game and, you know, just having fun about it. But he understands, like, man, look, we ain't playing nobody.
No.
But, man, you've got to be encouraged on what you saw if you're a Texans fan. Like, I totally agree, man. They look competent, you know. And like I told my son before the game, he's like, Dad, what you think gonna happen? I said, oh, the Texans might put 30 on them. And he was like, you think so? I was like, yeah, because you got guys fighting for their lives out here, like trying to feed their families. Like, it's a totally different situation with a Super Bowl expectations like the Packers have. They're not gonna throw their best out here game one. But the Texans are. They're going to throw everything they got at them
yeah.
to win this football game, to come out and look good, because guys are trying to fight for their lives. It is what it is. I mean, and they did just that. He's like, well, you called it. I said, man, I told you. These guys are hungry. First off, you know, I said they'll win eight games, Lance. I said eight.
You think
that only
many?
Because I think that, yeah, only because I think they really, really, I think we've underrated what they've done with some of the acquisitions that they've brought in of guys who can really play. These are guys who just, you know, had some bad situations other places, but were decent draft picks, like top three, four rounds of the draft. And these guys, you don't forget how to play football, man. And when you get a chance to do it all over again, given the fact that they've got to stay healthy, of course, I don't think they can win eight with Davis Mills. If they go with Tyrod and let Tyrod play and Tyrod stays healthy, yes, I'd say they'd win eight football games, because I think they're going to run the football damn well against people. You know, I think Lindsey's going to do a great job, and I look at who's backing Lindsey up with Johnson and the other little cat out of Alabama.
Ingram, yeah. Mark Ingram.
Yeah, and then you got, you know, the Phillips kid looked good the other night, toting the mail, man. I mean, I just think that that's going to be what they are. They're going to be a ground-and-pound sort of football team. If they can get healthy, who was it they got from the Patriots? Cannon?
Marcus Cannon.
Yeah, and I think they're going to kick big fella inside the guard. Now, don't get me wrong, man. I just think it's certain acquisitions that go under the radar. And getting a guy like Cannon, if he can get healthy and get on the field playing guard and center tackle, man, I think we're nice. I think we're above where we were last year in the offensive line. I think effort and energy, we're above where we were last year defensively across the board. We got guys who want to be here. We got youngsters who are playing their ass off, man, and that means something. You can't underestimate guys who want to be somewhere that are going to give you everything they got, man. That Gruger Hill or whatever his damn name is, that guy was flying around that linebacker. When's the last time we seen that in a Texans uniform? I mean, again, come on, man. Yeah, it's a first preseason game. I get that. But we got to give them their credit. You know, if they went out and got drugged by the Packers, everybody would have been like, oh, see, here we go again. Look at the damn Texans. But they didn't. Man, give that coaching staff their credit on how they prepared these guys to play and how the guys themselves came out and performed in the first preseason game.
Mm-hmm. Kev, good stuff. We appreciate it. And I, the one area I'll disagree on a little bit is here's why I don't think they can get to eight wins. I don't think they're going to be good offensively. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to struggle. But I like Justin Britt, what I saw from him at center. I love Phillip Lindsay, the addition of Phillip Lindsay. I just, converting into touchdowns, I think is going to be a little bit of a challenge because I just question if they have enough at wide receiver. But I like Tyrod Taylor from what I saw the other, you know, in the game very briefly. And I do think you make a good point. These are guys who are all hungry. They've been number twos and number threes on their teams. They're going to be hungry in the preseason. What I caution against is, just as you mentioned, these are regular season games for a lot of these guys, where the other teams, they're just preseason games. You know, these guys are all playing for spots. They're playing for money, they're playing for. So these are almost like regular season games to some of these guys. Well, once the regular season starts, it's going to be a whole lot harder.
Yeah. We got some other stuff to talk about, including, is Coach Cully a little conservative? On the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, right now we're talking about HRMP. HRMP.net, 281-880-6525. HRMP is awesome. We just got paid, recently, a couple of days ago, and listen, ask Little
right.
Beavers.
That was fantastic.
It was fantastic. Yeah. But it comes. Have we ever had an issue with HRMP and our payroll? Never. Laura, you ask Laura Beavers about. You can call up here and ask her about working with HRMP as our payroll company, and she's going to tell you they're fantastic. We had another payroll company when we grew as a company. They wouldn't grow with us. They were like, no, that's the price of what it, wait a minute, we tripled the amount of people that we have here, and you're telling us it's the same price for the payroll? No, you got to customize your plan, and that's what HRMP does with every single client of theirs. They customize a plan just for you and your business. You're looking for the best payroll company? We got it. Ask Laura. HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
get on. I bought two whips and I put my boot on. She put this wrist on. She factory said it went rich and meal prone. Turn a pandemic into a pandemic. You know that's you know that we on. Yes, sir. Them gon' pull up.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.